can keep in line. Everything's fine. You got all that you need with Curry and the Keeper.
Curry and the Keeper, December 29, 2021. This is episode number 3. Hello, my queen.
Hello, my love. What a great song. Really gets me in the mood. But first, we got to cheers.
Yes. Hello. Okay, cheers.
Cheers. I hope you all have your wine out there.
I realize that since we're not actually visiting wineries on Wednesday, the original Winery Wednesday idea, we are the winery.
We've been drinking quite a bit because it's the holidays. So yes. Once January comes, we'll resort back to the visiting the wineries.
We are drinking wine in the official glasses of the vineyard. Yeah. Yes. Oh, cheers again.
Cheers.
Hey, here's for that. But, what are we drinking, Tina?
We are drinking a 2019 cab from Becker Vineyards.
No. It's not a 2019. Oh, yes, you're right. I thought it was 2017. It's 2019 Reserve.
Oh, Reserve.
It's a Reserve.
Excuse me.
Okay.
From Becker Vineyards, and we actually visited that vineyard. Yeah. Didn't they have the...
Is that the one with the big trees out front?
Yeah.
With the kid who was like, hey, weren't you on Joe Rogan?
No, that was Signor. No, this was where their charcuterie game. Remember, they asked for feedback, and I told them they need to up their charcuterie game because it was on a metal tray. And I'm like, what is this? Are we in a cafeteria?
From the fridge, right? Yeah.
And they said, well, we can't do boards because of COVID. I'm like, well, other vineyards do boards, so you should up your charcuterie game. But anyway.
Have a sip. I want to know what you think of it.
Delish.
It's good, right?
Yeah, it's very good. It helps to decant it too, I think. It opens it up.
We never decant except for once every 2 weeks on this very show.
Well, now we are going forward. We're decanting.
We are the decanters.
Exactly.
We are the decanters.
Yeah, so hey, big news.
Oh,
Ghislaine,
yes.
Found guilty.
Oh, I was going to talk about Phoebe, but okay, yes, Ghislaine.
Found guilty at Ghislaine. Ghislaine. Found guilty 5 out of 6 counts. I don't know what the second count was that she was found not guilty, but she's really, I believe she's the scapegoat myself. I mean, I believe that she was obviously actively involved in a lot of this, and it's sad because I'm sure a lot of those young girls probably looked to her as a woman, as a mom figure, and I feel like she betrayed them. And anyway, but I really think she's covering up for a lot that we don't know, and all of the information about Jeffrey Epstein is forever to be sealed. So there's a lot of pedophiles out there right now drinking champagne. I'm telling you, because their secrets will never be known.
I have a different opinion. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
The more I think about it, the more I realize that Jeffrey Epstein had to be killed because he was the liability for the true Black Widow. Mm-hmm. I think Ghislaine is the blackmailer. She has the Mossad, CIA informant, dad background. Her whole family has been involved in technology, even back to the Promise database, which I don't know if you remember me telling you about that, but that's like this database that everyone in America was in and all the intelligence agencies were using. And then they sold it to other countries with a back door so they could spy on them. And all these stupid countries went, oh yeah, we'll take your database.
Mm-hmm.
That's all her family. That's her sisters. And, I think she's the one that was doing all the blackmailing through Jeffrey Epstein.
Well, then all the more reason the vehicle for her to rot in prison then, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that she, you had referred to it as something, I forget, that the information could be released. What'd you call it?
The information, what information?
Yeah, like you said that I can't remember the term, but that she has somebody, she could possibly have somebody who could release a lot of the information.
Oh, a dead man switch.
A dead man switch, yeah.
Well, that would be a technology thing, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if you don't, you know, do one particular thing, like it could be as simple as sending an email to an address with a code word in it or something, or could be some website you visit and then, you know, way down at the bottom, there's a little button that she would know about and would click it. Something, it's the same as when you're driving a train. Have you ever been in a train up front with a conductor?
Well, no.
With the engineer, I mean, not the engineer, the guy who's driving the train. they have a dead man switch, and every depends on the train and where they're driving. Every 30 seconds or every minute, someone up front has to hit that button, and there's a countdown clock. You hit the button, it goes from 60 down to 1. If you don't hit the button, the train stops. If she doesn't hit the button, everything gets released.
Well,
it would be great for the show.
Yeah, be great. Anyway, off to prison she goes. Bye-bye.
Well, we don't know yet. She hasn't been. She hasn't been sentenced.
Well, yes.
And there, but she's and there's on appeals, and there's appeals, and we'll see.
Well, this is even not if over. Even if they are going to appeal, she's still going to be in prison. So until that, hopefully.
Safest place for her, I guess.
Yep.
Right next to her buddies who she was informing on. Yeah. The whole fact that Comey's daughter was one of the lawyers on the prosecutor, one of the prosecutors.
Well, I want to know, why are they forever sealing the Jeffrey Epstein files? I mean, I'm being rhetorical, obviously. Yeah. I mean, I know why, but I mean.
Exactly.
Yeah, anyway. So, yeah, good news today. Anyway.
Good news. No, the good news is we found out that our dog is possibly an actual breed.
Well, we don't know for sure. We did two DNA tests and we're going to compare them side by side. But we were told that she could possibly be an Akbash breed.
Akbash, the Turkish
livestock protector.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Guardian. I think they call it livestock guardian dog or something like that. Yeah. But this is a special breed. This has been around for thousands of years.
Only in the United States since the 70s.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's still pretty rare. But it explains so much about her personality because, you know, we thinking that she was at least part Labrador, we're like, here's the ball, fetch.
She'd throw the ball and she'd look at it like, what, you want me to go get that? Go get it yourself.
What is that thing?
And she doesn't play. We got all these wonderful toys from so many wonderful No Agenda producers and she is not interested at all. She's not interested. All she likes are her bones.
Well, that's what these dogs do. They're completely autonomous. They don't need a human to teach them or to tell them what to do to protect their flock. They bond with other species like horses and goats and sheep and turkeys and llamas. Hey, I heard a boostagram.
You know, what was funny when we found out that she could be of turkey descent, Adam immediately said she was probably a part of ISIS.
Obviously. And she's gone down in value 20% since last week. But that's a Turkish money joke.
Yeah. But we had to take her to the vet because she had an issue. And every time we take her to the vet, she gains more weight. This dog is now 86 pounds.
Right.
She's gained 6 pounds since we got her. And so must be all those damn treats were
born. No, because we asked the vet. And we asked him what he thought she was. He's the one that said Anatolian or Akbash. Uh-huh. You should look that up. So he called it right away.
Mm-hmm.
We asked about her weight. She's gained 5 pounds. Are we feeding her too much? Am I giving her too many teriyaki treats?
And he said she had a Barbie doll waist.
That's exactly right.
He said she had a Barbie doll.
But we're like, that's kind of creepy, but okay. Yes, he said, no, I think she looks fantastic. She's almost exactly where she should be. And look at this Barbie doll waist.
Yeah. Okay, but her personality is starting to emerge more because we've had her almost 3 months. Mm-hmm. And when the first couple months, she was just very docile, calm, chill, no problem. People come to the door. She'd look at the door like, whatever. Now she's fiercely protective of us, and it kind of goes in line with the breed.
Well, this is what's weird, or what people encounter with these dogs. And by the way, everywhere you read about the Akbash, this is not for novice dog owners.
We're like, ooh, shit.
You should know what you're doing.
We're like, well.
Well, she's her predisposition is so good that, I mean, she has almost everything.
Yeah, well, perfectly. Until Mark Hall...
Right,
came to the door.
Because now we're her flock and we're her leader as well. Yes, and then Mark Hall, who is, I mean, he's 6 feet tall at least. Yeah. He's 6 feet tall. He was dressed completely in black. Man fills up the doorway. Phoebe went bear.
Oh my gosh, Phoebe went freaking crazy.
Well,
it was in the middle of the show.
There was a number of things going wrong there. I was doing a pre-tape for Podcasting 2.0. It was supposed to end earlier than it did, and then Dave and James Cridlin, you know, they're talking away. I'm like, come on, man, Mark Hall's coming. Can you end this? And then Dave.
Not only that, every time Adam does a podcast, none of the lights can be turned on in the house. None, because they're all on dimmers and they create this sort of buzz for him. So I'm actually cooking by flashlight because I can't turn on the damn kitchen light because it'll buzz in his pot. So I'm doing a slow burn in the kitchen as he's yapping away, going on 2 hours.
It was taking a long time. And then every single time, Dave would be like, so James, let me ask you about this. I'm like, nah. And yeah, there, and I heard it. And then she's going nuts. You were already stressed, which of course didn't help. You're cooking in the dark. Mark shows up. And these dogs, are their job is to protect the flock from cheetahs and bears. And they will insert themselves in front of the danger and the flock, or hopefully us. And so she was wired. You were wired, and I just said to Dave and James, I said, "Look, I'm going to mute myself. You guys finish it up, and I'll edit the end somehow. I got to help Tina. This is a fucking nightmare." And the dogs, blah, blah, because when she comes with her voice, man, it's scary.
It's booming. Yeah, her bark is booming. Which I'm glad, because if anything were ever to happen to us, I truly believe we have a guard dog. Mm-hmm. We have a protection dog for sure.
She
but not good
us.
When friends show up at the door. So, Adam, you've been so diligent in working with her. You really have been.
I really enjoy this. I'm so
it's this project
into this dog and working with it. And you saw when the cleaning ladies came, she was a million times better. Mm-hmm. Then you weren't here when our old neighbor Steve stopped by on his way to driving his Tesla to California. How about that? He's driving his electric car from Texas to Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, and she, you know, I gave her just a couple minutes so she could see through the glass door of the porch, and then, all right, come on. She stopped barking. Come on in. And she's like, one bark, and then she was good. And she laid down, but she was like eyes focused.
Yeah.
And you know, one weird move of a hand and she's ready to go,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I slipped the other day on the road just a little bit in the morning. And went, my God, she was like.
She wanted to protect
she
you.
Was ready. Like, what's coming up behind me? This is a great dog.
Well,
I love
needless
this dog.
To say, when Mark, after we got her to calm down, when Mark was here, her nickname for the night was Cujo.
Cujo, yeah. Very much a Cujo.
Yeah, but yeah, we're still getting used to her. So, and she's getting used to us, and yeah.
I feel good about it, though. I really feel like we made a lot of progress with her.
Yeah.
Pugliff. Give me some more wine. not working yet.
Excellent, mm-hmm. Excellent. So what else, babe?
Well, I wanted to thank everybody who right off the bat, you know, there's nothing like releasing a show, one or two episodes, and you have sat streaming in because we're podcasting 2.0, which has made it a little difficult for some people. Like, well, where do I find this show? Mm. Yeah, you need a podcasting 2.0 app, or you need to add it manually if you're using the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all at curryandthekeeper.com. So we have a couple. Now, a lot of people are boosting without doing a boostagram, so I can't thank anybody.
Mm-hmm.
If you're using one of the new podcast apps, newpodcastapps.com.
Yeah, Podfriend is my favorite. I'm not endorsing
Tina
anybody,
prefers
but
the pod friend. Yes, yeah. She does.
He sent me a mug.
Mm-hmm. Not trying to influence you or anything.
He actually sent it to Adam and Tina claimed it.
Yes, that's right. Thanks. Oh. So you can support us with streaming value for value. And you can add your name to any of those apps. So if it's anonymous, then we can't thank anybody. So why don't we just do that real quick? Because it was super nice to have that coming in from the boostagrams. Let's see. Did we do John's Burt? 4,900 Satoshis?
I don't
think so.
So.
She's a Keeper was his boostagram. Brian Massey, did we do him? Don't think we did Brian Massey.
I don't think so.
5,000 sats from
oh,
Brian.
Oh, nice.
And he says, boost!
Boost!
That's what I wanted. Thank you. I'm going to record that. I've been waiting to record you do that.
Wait,
like,
but I go, boost.
I'm going to use that. That's great. Let's see. A row of ducks, 2222 from someone called number two. So that doesn't work. But here's the big one. Comic strip blogger, comes in with 3 boostergrams.
Wow.
Totaling 10,000 satoshis.
Holy smokes.
So here's the first one. Greetings from Comixer blogger Tatina and AC. And anybody interested in artificial intelligence is welcome to subscribe and listen to the podcast AI.cooking that can be found in all podcast apps and all podcast indexes. So we sent that message 3 times. But we appreciate that. That's 10,000 satoshis. That's $5.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it.
Certainly
do. Great.
And then we added QR codes to curryandthekeeper.com on each episode. So now, if you want, you can just support us with straight up Bitcoin. We have a QR code for that. Or if you want to send a larger donation amount, that might be handier than through your podcast app. And we also have a Lightning Network QR code there. Now, here's what we got. We got some, $70.
Nice.
Yes.
Thank you.
Now, unfortunately, people not leaving their name.
Oh.
So we've got someone called JH. We have someone, what about getting discussion per podcast going on stacker.news? Not quite sure what. Oh, yeah, we're working on cross app comments. This is all kind of podcasting 2.0 stuff. And someone who just said, love this show, 10,000 sats. So if you leave your name, then we can actually thank you personally.
Yeah, for sure. I've received so many nice, really, really nice emails from people. And a lot of people have said that I have a good voice for podcasting. So I thought that's really cool. I was really very much of a nice compliment for me. And Adam and I were talking about this on today. I'm driving home. We had done a little shopping.
Let me explain how this goes. Okay. So first of all, we went to San Antonio. We've been talking about going to San Antonio for 4 weeks to actually get me a pair of jeans. That's how it started.
Adam wants some Wranglers. He wants some bootcut Wranglers because he wants to be a cowboy.
Well, I am a cowboy. I want some bootcut Wranglers, and they're impossible to find in 33, 34.
Yeah.
Certainly if you want them a little bit slimmer and not like, actual cowboys, it's a shitty look.
Yeah.
The real Wranglers is crap.
Yeah.
So Texas Slim had said, oh, you got to go to Buckle. And they have, and Buckle is, that's like, it's to me, it was like a Hot Topic almost. It wasn't really a great
and
store.
And the jeans she was showing us had these pockets that were just, they might as well have been bedazzled.
Hold on a second.
They were awful.
Again, this is not how it went. I'm like, hey, hello, lady with weird tattoos and half dressed. Could you please show me some bootcut jeans? Yeah, there's this one. Okay. And then Tina's making this face.
If you ever watched Jersey Shore, it was the kind of jeans that the guys on Jersey Shore wore.
It was just the design on the back pocket.
It was bad.
Yeah,
bad.
Okay.
I'm like, no, he cannot be standing next to me wearing those jeans.
But then you'll do this. No, if you want them, try them on. I was like, I would never wear these after seeing that face. I am never, ever putting jeans like that on. It's not going to happen. Even though I live with your high water jeans, your flood
it's
pants.
It's the fashion, Adam. Anyway, needless to say, we walked out of there with no jeans for Adam, which he was sadly disappointed.
No, but I had a great time. We'll get back to that in a second. So as we're driving, I usually drive on these longer drives. I have the navigation on and I turn the voice guidance off because it's just annoying. And there's another reason is that I have a beautiful voice next to me because it doesn't matter if I had a map in my hands, the GPS on, if I had someone in the back telling me how to go. Tina will say it left here. All right.
I'll tap the window, go here.
You got, hello, you got to move over. It's coming up in 14 miles, okay?
I do that. I plan ahead.
You do?
I plan ahead.
And I don't understand why you drive like that. I don't understand. Why do you move over? Why did you stay in this lane? Okay, it's so fine. But
I've been trying to say anything.
I enjoy your directions are great because I know a long time ahead of time when something's coming. And your voice is
I plan ahead.
Your voice is really nice. Oh. It's so much better than all those navigators. And we have to remind everybody that you have a professional voice, or at least so some sap in the Chicago believes to this day.
Yeah, well, in the 1990s, this was before, oh my gosh, this was Before cell phones. The internet, actually, the bank that I worked for, I mean, it was early 1990s.
The internet was there, but not at the bank.
So we had automated banking on the phone, and I was actually the voice, and it was touch tone teller. So I recorded the whole thing. So it was press 1 for your checking account, press 2 for your savings, press 3 for your certificate of deposit. And so every time I would use the system, I heard my own voice. So I was the touch tone teller.
I love that. Yeah. I wish I could still hear that.
Yeah.
Did you also have to say things like the approximate wait time is 60 minutes?
Oh, I don't remember
if
that.
If you'd like a callback, press 1.
But I had to record numbers. 1.
Yeah, well, of course.
2. Yeah. 3. And I had to keep the inflection
the same.
And so,
how did they choose you for that? Because what were you doing at the bank?
I was in the marketing department. And so I was in charge of installing the system. And
you installed the system?
Well, I didn't. I was in charge of managing the installation of the
system. Holy crap. It's like, Adam, my email doesn't work. You installed the teller system. Okay.
So that was early in the 90s when I was single and having a lot of fun in Chicago.
You have a great voice. This is what I always knew was my secret weapon. It's my exit strategy, actually, just so you know.
Oh, my voice?
You're my exit strategy.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Good
you
to
and
know.
Your voice. You and your voice Good are the exit know. Strategy.
Good to totally. Know. Yes, I wanted to give people a story about my history. So if we can go into that, when I was single in the city in Chicago. And so I had been married. I had married my high school sweetheart in the early 80s. And
who actually gave you a huge gift.
Yes, he did. So his last name was Savage. And so when we got a divorce, I decided to keep the last name. And when we were at the divorce court and the judge goes, "You're going to keep the name?" I'm like, yeah.
Tina Savage, everybody, in the morning.
It's a good dating name. It's, you know, it's my marketing strategy.
It's a DJ name, baby. It's like.
So Tina Savage
here,
was
check
my
it name. Out, check it out. Hey, everybody, it's Tina Savage here on Hot 100. Woo!
Hey, baby.
Yeah, you could do that. Hi, it's the Nightbird.
Hi, it's Tina Savage. It's Tina Savage. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. It seems so long ago. But anyway, I kept the name because I thought, oh, my God.
That's a sexy person.
It's good for dating. What the hell? You know, why not?
Because you're savage.
Yeah, so my name was Tina Savage in Chicago, and I had volunteered at a American Heart Association event one day. I was with a really good friend of mine, and we had name tags, and the name tag, the person had hand wrote the names. And so,
hi, my name is.
Yes. And so my name was very vertical the way that she wrote it. And this guy had come up to me and he looked at my name tag and he's looking at it and he goes, "Tuna Sausage?" So from then on, my friends called me Tuna Sausage. So it kind of took away the whole Tina Savage sort of moniker that I was so proud of, and I became Tuna Sausage.
I'd be okay if you just change your name back to Tina Savage.
No, Tina Curry.
Tina Savage sounds like someone who works with fire. Fire.
Yeah, yeah.
We got a couple of emails here. The Real Nestworks?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, did he send a piece of artwork for us to look at?
Yes, he sent.
We were thinking about this. Maybe we do it just like no agendas. Like we'll just do different art each time.
Yeah, I like
if
that
people
idea.
People send that in. Mm-hmm. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Email tina@curry.com. She loves the email.
Yes, yeah, send them on to me.
She really
I don't
loves
get enough
it.
Of them.
Yeah, that'll change. Who was this that said, "Get that bottle of wine back into the studio, Boost"? I think that was him.
Yeah, that was. I had it right here. Yeah. Yeah. Was
yeah.
Good.
And he sent. Was he the? He's. Which image did he send?
He sent. It was this one.
Oh yeah, we'll use that.
That's nice. For sure. And also, somebody else sent one.
I have Steve Dew. He says, "As I'm driving across I-70 in Ohio, so I'm not drinking with you." Pussy.
Mm-hmm.
"This podcast is a delight.
Oh.
Perfect balance to my heavy anarcho-conspiracy and sports ball shows." Yeah, it is intended to provide some relief from that. "I can tell I would love hanging out with you guys because I do the same thing with other people and their outfits in public. Though I'm sure I'm not as debonair as you two classy blondes." All right, Sir Fahrenheit, Steve Dew, thank you. And
Martin Justin?
How do you spell it?
Also, J-O-O-S-T-E-N.
Oh, he's Dutch guy.
Yes, and he Martin sent Yost. Out, he sent some artwork as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay, let me see it. Which one is that? This one. It's also and nice.
He sent, yeah, he sent a few variations. So, yeah, I think that's a great idea that we'll switch them out.
Justin, while listening to the latest episode of Currying the Keeper, my wife, Megan, says she also fears the development of a hump.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Was that, I'm the one that's worried for the hump.
We talked about that. Yeah. 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 There's specific exercises you can do to alleviate that. I just saw it. It's interesting that we talked about it because then it popped up on Instagram.
Man, have this a lot. You have a lot. What was the, there was something else the other day when you were.
Oh, Lisa showed me a picture of a speaker that she either got, my sister, she either got or gave. I can't remember. And the damn thing popped up on my Instagram. And this was through a phone conversation. No, she sent me a picture through text message and it came through. On Instagram, the same exact photo. So they're listening. They're listening.
Well, it's all those apps intercommunicating.
I also got in. I got a really nice email from my sister, and she wants me to read it. So
which one,
Tony? Of course.
All so right. She said, what do you say? Of course, Tina. What are you trying to say about Tony?
So she says, "Hello, sister. First, I want to say that I couldn't stop laughing at all the jokes. Hysterical. It's great to hear your voice with Adam, in which I predicted a long time ago. Remember?
Oh, okay. So it's her idea. Yes.
She goes. Before I get into detail, I would like to say when I come to visit." Which they're arriving next week. I will come bearing Adam's birthday gift, which I'm aware was almost 4 or 5 months ago, and some delicious treats for Miss Phoebe. Back to the story. When we talked on the phone, when I informed you that you should do a podcast with Adam, you shut that down. You said, that's his thing. Now look at you, $17 richer and full of energy. I love the dynamic of you two. The stories, the shout out. And my manager, Sarah, enjoys the show too. Always complimenting your radio voice. Press 1 for checking.
Well,
she goes, I know that you're probably cringing at my grammatical errors in this email, but I'm from Gary.
Aw, she's not from Gary. No. It's next door.
Yeah, next door.
Across the town. Over. Could you hit me again on that? Because you're not doing a very good job on keeping me.
I guess I'm the barkeeper too, in addition to a
podcaster. Well, I'm running the board, babe. Okay. That's, I don't know. I know they're coming on the 5th.
Yes.
Lisa and Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Hell hath no fury. Those two in your house. It's going to be a party.
No, it'll be fun.
Yeah. When you get the Midwest girls all together, my job is to figure out how to harness that energy and bring y'all into the studio.
Yeah. Cause we fill the room with our energy. That's for sure. Cheers.
Cheers. Dink. So
what do you have on your list?
Oh, a number of things.
Yeah, let's hear them.
We're going to see some live music. We've been devoid of live music. We miss if when I met you, you went to see live music maybe once a week at least. Yeah.
I was out like experiencing Austin and just trying to trying to meet people, get a meal, get a drink.
Yeah, get a free meal.
A gift maybe.
Stink Martin.
Ew.
Come on,
hey,
man.
Nurse Tracy.
Hey. We'd be mean about it now. Yes. It's so nice to be married 17 years to you.
It's so good. Just like yesterday.
I see. What have we been talking about? Well, besides the fact that I get out of bed wrong.
Oh, no. We're going to see Jimmy Vaughn.
Jimmy Vaughn, yes.
At Hilltop Cafe.
Which is, Mark Hall figured this out. Which is probably another reason for him to just come and hang out with Phoebe. I'm sure that's all he wants.
Oh, yeah. She loves him. Hope he wears all black.
So he's coming tomorrow night. And yeah, Jimmy Vaughn playing in this very... Jimmy Vaughn can sell out some big venues.
Yeah.
He could totally... If Jimmy Vaughn could play at Booty's.
Mm-hmm.
He would fill that. So, I mean, this place is small.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many people fit in there, but we'll find out.
I guess it's a cherished place out here in Hill Country.
Yeah.
A lot of people recommended going there. So, so we're heading out there tomorrow night.
Very excited about that. Yeah, it should be fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was Rory's dad who said you had a great voice.
Oh, like, yes.
Natural,
David
Sutcliffe. You're a natural.
Yeah, David Sutcliffe. Hi, David. Yes, David. Yeah.
And by the way, this is the last time I'm going to say that.
Oh, what?
Rory's dad.
Oh, okay.
I'm done with that. I'm sure he's way done. I don't like being called washed up ex-MTV VJ guy.
I don't even think of him that. I think of him as David. So I,
of course, yeah, of course. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, for sure. So speaking of David, so I noticed on his Instagram, because I follow him on Instagram, that he does the cold plunge.
Yeah.
So the Wim Hof. And mm-hmm. so I asked him how many times he does it. And he says he does it every day and that he hasn't had any aches or pains in the five years that he's been doing it. So that's been one of my things that I've started to do. I'm just trying to stay alive here. I'm just getting older. Well, I'm just trying to stay alive.
So for Christmas.
Well, wait, let me finish. So, mm-hmm. So I can't plunge into cold water yet. So I've been doing it a cold finish in the shower.
And I will give you an example of how that goes.
Okay.
That's not my towel. That's my towel.
Not exactly like that. Okay. But it's probably close. It's freaking cold. But it's invigorating, though. And it's almost addictive, though, because you get sort of this rush from it.
Well, that's the whole point. And, Wim Hof is a Dutch guy. I've watched interviews with him in Dutch. I mean, hello. Look who's joining us. Hello, baby. Oh, you know what? You know why? I was doing the ooh, ooh, ooh thing. She comes. Yes, I'm okay. I'm okay, baby. I'm okay. Good girl. So he's taken E. coli.
Wim Hof has?
He literally injected E. coli into his veins and then went straight into a routine of in the tub, submerging. Not sick. Wow. Not for a set. He says, I can completely beat that with this system.
Yeah.
So they injected E. coli, which would make you projectile vomit.
See, my whole intent is to use all of these natural remedies and mm-hmm. not pile on any pharmaceuticals in my body. Well, so that's why
we're really not into that.
I don't want to. So yes, yeah, so the cold plunge has been a mm-hmm. big thing. But for Christmas, Adam bought me an infrared sauna.
Which is really funny.
It's like I'm a baked potato.
It's a baked potato. It's an aluminum box with a little hole for Tina's head. I need to take a picture of that. Tina's head sticks out. And you can stick your arms out so you can like operate your iPhone. It's you know what? It's like some mom took the idea of Lost in Space robot for their kids' Halloween party in the 70s. And made it into a sauna.
Yeah, I definitely feel like a baked potato in there, though, for sure.
It's pretty funny to look at.
So I've been doing it. So I've upped it to 131 degrees and 20. I've been doing 20 minutes, and I'm not really sweating that much. And so somebody had told me that it takes a while to really release your toxins. I don't know. So if anybody has any insight onto these infrared saunas.
I like this idea and I'm going to try it, but I'm going to go straight for the pool, for the plunge.
Oh,
I'm going to jump right in the
Adam
pool.
Adam definitely needs to get into the sauna because you have allergies and I think that will help you with that. Yeah. If you do it, I'll do it. If we go into the pool.
It's fucking cold, man. I put my hand in the other day. That thing is cold.
But my friend Christy, who I met at work, she said, you just got to do it. You just got to jump in. And she jumps in and puts her head under the water where everybody that I've seen has not put their head in the cold water. Oh. So,
well, we'll have a report in 2 weeks.
Yeah. So anyway, so I'm baking like a baked potato and I'm freezing myself afterwards. So I'm just trying to stay alive.
So I had a fun little experience. You know, we've been waiting for this mirror. The supply chains are broke and even shit from Vietnam can't get here anymore, which is, I think this mirror is either from Vietnam or.
Or China.
It's a standing mirror.
For our bedroom.
It's a nice mirror. We've been waiting, what? Five weeks?
2 months.
Yeah, 2 months.
And I ordered a chair in October for a bedroom, and it's not coming until March.
So they keep saying, oh, coming. We'll deliver today. Now, finally, of course, when are they going to deliver? Well, I don't know. How about doing it during No Agenda? That would be fun. Let's do that. Whatever you do, let's do it during Adam's recording when Tina's at work. So
and the dog.
And, of course, so I'm here alone. We're doing the second donation segment, and my phone starts, and I see 737, like, okay, this has got to be them. But I'm doing the donation segment. I'm reading meetups and for the things going. I'm like, I don't know. I can't help it. I just got to ignore it. So we finish up. He's rung the doorbell already twice, and because they were going to call you. I mean, this never goes right. They had your number. They were going to call you, all that stuff. Now, so the show's over. During the end of show mix, I'm like, John, please wait. I got to let these guys in. So in come, so I put Phoebe out on the porch so she can see everything. She's, of course, she's like, actually, she wasn't barking that much. When I let them in, it's a young guy and a little older guy. And Phoebe calms down pretty quickly, but I leave her out there. And they bring in the mirror. And this is supposed to be the white glove service.
Do they have white gloves on?
Well, you know me. I'm like, is this the white glove service? They're like, yeah, it's a white glove service. Where's your white gloves? So the older guy goes, I got the white gloves. I'm just kidding, man. Anyway, I'm talking to the younger guy, and it's a father and son.
Oh.
And this is Alejandro. And they arrived in the United States 7 months ago from Cuba.
Okay, so wait a minute. Time out. So you put no agenda on hold. You put John on hold.
John
and
is on hold.
And you're like having a conversation John is on about hold. These people's lives.
Honestly, I fucking forgot about John for a couple minutes. I honestly did because it was so interesting. So this kid's like...
And this is what Adam does. He's so interested in other people that he asks them about their family, their life, their dreams, their hopes.
So this is his dad and the son. And 7 months ago, they moved here from Cuba.
Oh.
And I'm sorry. No, he's from Cuba. They moved from the Bahamas. So he's from Cuba. The kid went to school in Cuba. They live in the Bahamas with all their family. But he and his son came over to America. And they're legal. They're legally here because they can't get any work in the Bahamas. Oh. Guess why?
I don't know.
China. China is taking over the Caribbean. They've taken over the Bahamas. And the Chinese, they always bring their own people.
So if we go there, it's going to be all Chinese people that are working
to the
in
Bahamas?
The resorts and
to
stuff?
To the Bahamas?
Yeah.
I don't know about the resorts, but... I mean, outside of the resorts, it's, you know.
So they wouldn't hire them?
The jobs are filled with Chinese. Oh. That's how the Chinese do business when they come into your country.
Oh.
So they I think his dad has 14 siblings or something. So, you know, there's a huge family and they're sending money back. So I'm like, this is really cool. And we're chatting away and he, I forget how it came up. So, yeah, I'm doing a podcast. And the kid's like, you doing a podcast?
Oh.
Yeah, I'm doing a podcast. And I said, here, look. He looked at the studio. He's like, holy shit, you're doing a podcast. I'm like, yeah. So we're just chatting. And then they put the mirror up, you know, leaned against the wall. And it's dirty. And I'm like, hello, white glove? He literally pulls out a white glove and wipes the mirror with the white glove. I'm cracking up. I'm like, this is too fucking funny. I'll never bust you guys, but this is not white glove service. This is bullshit, but it doesn't matter. And so the kid is, you know, I'm talking to him and he said, oh, I'm making music. You're making music. He said, yeah, you know, can I send you a song? I said, yeah, absolutely.
Oh my God. This is the first time I've heard this story. No, Adam's been holding
yes,
it
I have been
for
holding
the show.
It.
Yeah.
So he's...
oh my gosh.
A1 Ali, I think is his name. A1 or Ali, could be either one. And he sent two songs. He sent a Christmas song.
Oh.
A rap, which, and the guy is, the kid's, I don't know, 17 probably.
Oh my gosh.
Something like that. Yeah, he's pretty young. Here he is. Producers at home. He's got cute videos and shit. It's cool. This is just a Christmas song. He's got other stuff, but...
Wow.
I promised I would play it. It'll be fun. Here it comes. Yeah.
This is the season where we all come together. And it falls drops like feathers at the end of December. This is the season and it called bad weather. Got the fire for the winter at the end of December. There's a time and a place for some things that we change, and it's all gonna happen tonight.
Good for him.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So he gave me, I said, hey man, I'll play this on our show. He's like, really? So yeah, man, this is America where shit happens. He's like, really? So he's like, yeah, we'll play that for you, bro. No problem.
What I think is so funny is how long was John on hold?
John's still on hold at this point. And,
Adam's here doing a side business deal.
Oh, let me just hear this other song. One of his
very auto-tuned.
Oh, it's That's the style, man. Yeah. That's what the kids are doing right, these yeah. days. Yeah. I mean, it's just
that's
not...
That's so cool, though.
This is not for you and me, right?
Creative people.
Let me just hear the kick in for a second. I mean, this is exactly what you and I do not put on at night, but I love it. I love it.
No, that was very kind. Yeah.
And let me see. So I have a link in the show notes. Alejandro Mayet, A1 Ali.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And I gave him a tip and they're like, no. I said, no. Welcome to America, man. This is where we honor work and value for value and Merry fucking Christmas.
Adam is very good about that. When people help us out, he is always very good about tipping people. And there's some people, like when we had our grill delivered from Ace Hardware and the guy was like, no. And Adam is insistent because he appreciates that. So I like that.
It's value for value.
That's right.
That's what
value
it is.
Value for value, baby.
And I say that and I get this puzzled look. Said value for it's just
yeah, a kindness. I mean, it just comes back to you tenfold. I mean, I just truly believe that.
But it used to be like that. And I don't even consider it a tip, to be honest.
It's an appreciation. Yeah, like you said, value for value. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I wanted them to have a good American experience out here in the Hill Country at 7 months in America.
That's so funny.
Coming from Bahamas.
I didn't hear that whole story. You purposely kept it from me because I knew it was chaotic for you.
It was. Yeah. And then anyway, like, oh, hey, John. Hey, man, did you choose any art yet? It must have been 25 minutes. He was a good sport about it.
He lets out his dog in the middle of the show.
It only happened once.
And his phone rings all the time. But no, we love John.
What else do you have?
We watched that movie, Don't Look Up.
Yeah.
And both Adam and I, we're not like on the same page about it.
Typical.
Adam was influenced by a New York Times article. I wasn't.
Hold on a second. I was not influenced by anything.
You read the article before we watched the movie.
True or false? The movie had been discussed several weeks before it came out on No Agenda. I knew what the agenda of the movie was. And I am right. Tina, go.
Well, I didn't know what the movie was about at all. I didn't. I had no idea. And I don't overanalyze movies. I just want to be entertained. I don't want to be stressed out. Although I did love Squid Games, even though that was very
stressful.
That was pretty very, very stressful. Yeah,
that was great. I love that.
But I had no idea what it was about. And I didn't make a connection of climate change at all. What the connection that I made was the absurdity of everything that's happening today was kind of replicated in that movie, where a lot of people just aligned the Trump administration with climate change in the movie. And I didn't recognize that at all. I thought it was a satire of the government, the media, the scientific community, businesses, followers, and critics of the news. That's what I thought.
And you were absolutely right. That is exactly what it's. And my whole point was, this movie was made and conceived with Ricardo DiCaprio. Come on, we know he's number one climate guy. This was conceived maybe even before COVID, to be honest. It was all conceived to say presidents like Trump and Trump Jr., because that's what Jonah Hill plays, they only give a shit about money, about their standing, about the politics, about the elections, and they don't care. And this was intended to be an entire narrative to show that when important science shows up, and if you ignore it, we're all going to die, which has been the consistent message from, you know, AOC and other people. We're all going to die. And well, now it's 10 years instead of 11.
Well, and I mean,
but it failed. That's my point, is you are absolutely right. It failed because of that.
Mm-hmm.
They're so tone deaf. They had no idea. And if you look at the articles that are now coming out, people are missing the point. You don't get it. It's about showing climate change.
To me, it just showed the complete failure of those in power, and that it made fun of people. That's how I looked at it.
And it was a failure of Hollywood to try and do what they always do, which is tell you what to think and what's going on in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're not that far apart.
No, I know. But I just didn't get the
climate. Did you like the movie, though?
I thoroughly liked it. Mark Hall hated it.
He said he's a movie snob.
But he looks at films differently than we do. Because
cinema. He looks at cinema, darling, not a film. Cinema.
Excuse me.
We love you, Mark.
Excuse me.
We love you, Mark.
But my daughter Elise, she can analyze movies and she follows a lot of,
knows a lot.
She
about
does.
Movies.
And she dives into it. I don't. I'm at surface value.
But she
want to be entertained.
But she won't watch a movie because the director is a dick.
No.
Or not woke or something. Yeah. If the director is no good, she's like, oh, that guy's a dick. I won't. It's a shitty movie.
Well, and she has her own reasons for that.
Of course.
I don't know any of that shit. I don't know about the directors. I don't know about their background. I don't give a shit about it. I just want to be entertained without being stressed out because there's too many fucking things that are stressed out.
I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was funny. Yeah. I thought there were very funny bits. I like all of those actors. I think they're all great. I think Jonah Hill did a hilarious job.
I like when
job.
He said what did he say? 1.4 trillion?
1.4 trillion.
$1.4
By the way, Gillian Anderson, she's everywhere now. The X-Files lady.
Yes, she was in The Great and she was in, she's in Sex Education now too.
I mean, and she's just taken on this British accent. Good for you, Gillian Anderson, who's from, I think, Ohio. Good for you. Screw those British cucks. Come and take our business all the time. Now you do it. Oh. I love that. Oh. Don't let British actors get that.
People might get upset over that, you know? So,
over what?
Over an American actress playing an English woman.
Well, good for her. And she's dynamite.
But anyway, I liked Don't Look Up. I did. So
I liked it.
But I wanted to talk about the Sex and the City reboot.
Oh, I have that on my list.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
So I loved Sex and the City. That's the reboot.
Yeah.
I loved following the four women of Sex and the City. I don't know. I lived vicariously through them, I guess, in the early 90s.
Sure.
It was late 90s. And so this reboot, I am so, oh God, I'm so hollow. I'm so empty with this reboot. And so Adam was asking me, like, well, what is it about the reboot? And I think that it's so contrived. I feel like they're trying so hard. I don't know if anybody's seen it, but they put a lot of what's going on today with the pronouns and the woke ideology and all of that. They've just put it into this reboot. And it's overkill to me. It's so contrived. And I said to Adam, because I'm hanging on to the legacy of Sex and the City, that I liked that, and it is nothing like the legacy. It is, they are trying too hard, and I, quite frankly, we're so bombarded by all of this stuff all the time that I don't want to turn on a television program and be bombarded with it again.
So
I'm disappointed.
I've seen all the original Sex and the Cities, I think.
Yeah, we watched most them together. Of them.
I've seen the first and the second movie. I've always enjoyed it to a degree. I'm a big fan of Darren Star. Darren Star is the producer. It's not his real name. I'm sure his name is...
Did he just do Emily in Paris?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sure his real name is Starnstein or something.
Starnstein.
He's Jewish. Starnstein or whatever it is. It's not
well,
Star.
Star is a Hollywood name.
Totally. Yeah. But he did Beverly Hills 90210, Melrose Place, Sex and the City, Emily in Paris. I love what he does. I'm also a fan of the fashion. That's, if anything, I've always enjoyed the fashion in all of
me
his
too.
Shows.
I could never pull that off. That's my daughter, like, Elise. She can pull that off.
Like Emily in Paris, you know, this is an American girl working in Paris, you know, has limited budget, but she's got $5,000 outfits on every day.
Different boots every day.
But see, I love that.
You work at an advertising agency. How do you pay for that shit?
I love looking at the fashion. Now, when I objectively view the show, so I think he's very in touch with... Beverly Hills was very specific. He knew how to address that audience. Melrose, the same thing. Emily in Paris, I mean, it's working one way or the other. So
when it
comes to this, of course it has the legacy and the baggage of what Sex and the City is, but what else could it have been? Right now we have these upper middle age, like us, 50s. They're in their 50s, and they're still living in, you know, they're in $10 million apartments in Manhattan, magic, or Brooklyn. That's also going to be a $5 million place where Miranda lives, and they're encountering this wokeness which they don't. But wait, let me talk
okay, I'm
now.
Sorry, I'm
You're
sorry,
doing
sorry.
A JCD now.
I'm sorry.
They're encountering this wokeness where they're doing everything wrong. They're saying the wrong things. They don't understand. They don't get it. They're trying too hard, especially Miranda. And what I like about it is that the people who, like, she has a black professor who's like, hey, don't try so hard. Just be fucking normal. Then there's the, you know, the one that Carrie's working with, some podcaster where the whole podcast is like a woke-asm. It's just, yeah. But he's showing something how people are struggling with this. And also that the people who are actually in the so-called categories of LGBTQQIAPBLM, et cetera, are not so jihadist about it as the white people. And that's what I'm seeing. And it has to unfold more. We've only seen, what, 4 episodes? Mm-hmm. I'm interested where he's taking it. I have great faith in Darren mm-hmm. Starr as a television producer. Yeah. Right now, he's failing because he's pissed off you. And that's not good.
Yes,
that's not
good. And he has to remember there's a lot of the women my age grew up with or not grew up, but we watched that legacy Section of City. But you have Miranda, who is now, she's a closet alcoholic, and you can tell she's kind of... she's identifying an attraction to another woman. So the fact
she's
that she could be queer.
Totally gonna boner.
Okay. Then you have Charlotte who lives on the Upper West Side with her husband, and her daughter now doesn't feel like a girl. So you got the trans issue going on.
I love it. It's fantastic.
Then you have Carrie, who's in a podcast with a guy. I forget what his name is, an Asian guy. And then the other, I think she's a lesbian or she's a queer woman, but then rolls in the producer in a wheelchair. So you got the disabled in there for sure. You've got this myriad of characters, and to me,
it's great.
And I don't have an issue with that, but it just seems like it's trying so hard and it's so contrived. And I'm just, God, I want the old Sex and the City back, where Miranda, where Miranda was with the guy, and they went and ate Dunkin' Donuts. They had the glazed donuts. That episode. Do you remember that?
Yes, okay. I do, darling. What I'm trying to connect is not everyone over 50 has the kind of sex life that you and I have, like last night. Which is why I knew this would be a great show. I told you I'd do it. You double dog dared me. I told you I'd do it. It's your own fault. I remember this shit. Carrie's husband is dead. She's not having sex.
Wait, one second. Who is the target audience here?
Me.
Not you.
50-year-old man.
No, I'm the target audience. Do you think the 30-year-olds, the 25-year-olds are watching that? Fuck no, they're not watching that. Sorry about the language, but anyway, I'm passionate. What was that?
Epic fail.
Anyway, so...
Okay, so you still will watch it, right?
I'm not bailing on it yet. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but I'm really having it's interesting too, because seeing them as older,
yeah,
really brings to the forefront my aging as well. And that's kind of a hard pill to swallow, because it's right in front of you and you're like, wow, we are all getting older. And
yes,
that kind of sucks.
And if I can just
that's
say,
why I'm doing the ice plunge and the sauna to stay alive.
If I can just say, you're older than all of these women in real life. You look a million times better, especially Carrie. What a dog face. I'm sorry
babe, don't say that. I don't believe that at all. Adam@curry.com. Send your comments.
You look dynamite.
Oh, but thank you. But it's interesting to see that.
Because you have good skin, as we've established.
Well, I was raised in Northwest Indiana, and we only had sun 3 months out of the year. So not a lot.
And you were raised on mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese and bologna sandwiches.
And
ketchup sandwiches, right, Lisa?
Ketchup sandwiches? You guys make just ketchup sandwiches, really?
We were poor. We had to eat whatever we could eat. We would eat ketchup sandwiches.
Yeah. Baby, cheers me again. Cheers. Welcome to... Welcome to middle class. Welcome to the middle class.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that's my take on Sex and the City reboot. I'm not going to bail on it, but I'm having a hard time. And I'd love to hear any other woman out there who's watching it and love to hear their take.
How many episodes are we watching? Is it three or four?
Four, I think.
Okay.
And you know what? Kiri did not cry enough when Big died. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
She did not cry enough. She did not call 911. She did not.
There was a lot of, if you want to talk plot, I mean, because he had heart issues. He had a heart attack. We know that.
Yeah.
Before this all happened. Why am I even talking like this is fucking real? This is frightening me.
You know what? What's interesting too is that, I don't know if you've heard this, but a lot, two women came out and said that he had sexually harassed.
Two? Him. How about five? There's five now.
Was it five? Interesting timing on all that. Interesting timing for me.
There was a lot of things that happened. One is, he died on a Peloton. Peloton stock dropped 11% the next day. Then Peloton came out with him in an ad on...
Didn't Ryan Reynolds?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's typical Ryan Reynolds. I like that guy. To do that with his vodka and then, you know, oh, I'm still alive. And then all of a sudden it was like Darren Star or someone said, hey, you're dead in our show. You're dead now. Boom. Me too. Me too. Me too. Four women in one go.
I just find the timing what very the hell? Interesting. I do. I find the timing interesting.
Not interesting is fucking something's going on.
Well, the Me Too moment, which I'm so happy Adam does not have a Me Too moment.
I have no Me Too moments. I can tell you that.
Thank you. For 100% thank you, Patricia. Sure. Thank you, Patricia. I credit her for
100%
that. 100%
sure.
But interesting that none of that came out when all of that was really prevalent. Yeah, I just...
Of course not.
I'm just skeptical of everything. That's what the No Agenda show
guys
has taught
screwed.
Me.
Guys getting screwed.
Yeah.
For sure.
Anyway. But yeah, that's my take on the reboot.
Let's see. How's everyone else doing with Omicron and all that? Because we've had my sisters, you know, Tiffany is locked down just like Christina in the Netherlands. Willow and Ale.
And Italy, I just saw on Twitter that Italy is not allowing any of the unvaccinated to go into hotels. Bars, restaurants.
Oh, no, that's been a while.
Buses, yeah. Trains, nothing. Same with France, too. Yep. So good thing we've been to both Italy and France because we're not invited back there.
Well, what's happening now is they're starting to say, geez, what's going on with this? And then, you know, well, we have Omicron. We don't feel too good, but we'll be okay. And damn, man, we can't even get tested. The lines are too long. And so anyway, the booster's coming. That should help.
Yeah, well, like... According to Mo, what's your number? I know somebody who has been double jabbed, had COVID once, and then got Omicron again. And the new evidence just came out from Alex Berenson that the vaccines are pretty much a dud. So, I don't know.
Pretty much 100%. Even Willow was like, this kind of makes me question the efficacy of the vaccine as she got COVID after being fully vaccinated.
I
think it's coming to a head. I think
I hope so. But the Omicron, people were just, what it appeared was it was just a cold.
But people were freaked out.
Oh my God. Yes.
People we know who
we love dearly were freaked out by it. And it was a cold.
Who 2 weeks ago were like, this is all good. I'm okay. Whatever. And now just the fear, the shit they just throw at it.
Yeah.
Oh, but you notice
the propaganda game is strong.
Not seeing anymore on television? We're not seeing the death count anymore. No. They're doing percentage of people vaccinated. They're doing that kind of stuff, but they're not doing anything else.
Well, and then Biden saying that it's a state issue now.
Yeah. I can't talk about our No Agenda, but
ooh.
I think we broke Scott Adams. I think we fucking broke that guy.
Oh, well, people who are not following No Agenda will not know what you're talking about. So you need to probably give a little bit of backstory.
Scott Adams is a cartoonist.
He does the cartoon Dilbert.
I think a lot of people may know who listen to the show may know about him, but he does his own, I guess it's called a podcast kind of.
He used to be on Periscope, but I don't know what he's on now.
He's on everything.
But he does it's like a coffee talk basically. Yeah. And people come there. You know, we have wine. He has coffee. We're a little better.
Yeah. Hello. Which one do you choose? Yeah, but he's been such a proponent of the vaccine, and now the vaccine is clearly not working, and he's finding it hard to admit that he was wrong.
Yeah.
And we called him on that, and it's just like this cascade of people just diving on this guy.
Yeah.
And I hope he just snaps out of it and sees it, because like, dude, get a clue.
Yeah, and I love when he says, the data supports it, just Google it. Like. Google it?
Google it.
Are you kidding me? Google censors so much information. I mean, who would ever go to Google?
Yeah, Neeva is my search engine. Yeah. NEEVA.com. Costs money. It's not free. You have to pay for it.
Yeah, I guess you have to pay for the truth. Or so pay for an objective perspective,
This
guess.
Brings me to my theory.
Oh,
yes. My Trump theory.
Oh.
So you've been following former President Trump, who's been promoting the vaccine.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to Candace Owens, but I saw some clips that she interviewed him, and then he was a big advocate for people. He's not against mandates, but he is a big advocate for vaccines. And she didn't really press him on it, so I was not super impressed by her interview.
I wonder if I have a clip of that. Here we go. It was even worse. He was not saying vaccine. The mandates just kind of pushed. She's asking about the mandates. He pushed it aside and kept talking about the vaccines. You want to hear the clip?
Yeah, sure.
In terms of big pharma, which is a huge topic on the minds of mothers, especially. You're seeing what's happening at these school board meetings. Where do you stand on these vaccine mandates? And obviously, I know that you are pro-vaccine. Obviously, you did everything you could to get this vaccine out. I know where you stand on the vaccine.
It was one of the greatest achievements. We did it in less than 9 months.
And to be able to do that. Yeah, but now it's taken a twist, right? It's gotten, now we went from...
I like the Candace, don't do that.
But now it's taken a twist, right? It's gotten, now we went from this is a good thing and people should have this option to military men, you're going to have to resign because you're not getting this vaccine.
Which is a great question she's posed there, because she knows that Trump is huge on the military. So for the military to be forced out of their love for what they do and for country is a great way to set them up for it. Fucking ignores it.
Where do you stand on that?
Well, I stand on forget about the mandates that people have to have their freedom. But at the same time, the vaccine is one of the greatest achievements of mankind.
Bullshit.
We would have had a 1917. Remember the Spanish flu killed perhaps 100 million people. Actually, it ended the First World War because the soldiers were so. A lot of people don't know that. The soldiers got so sick. It was a terrible thing. There were no vaccines. There were no anything. I came up with a vaccine, with three vaccines, all are very, very good.
He came up with three of them
in less than 9 months. It was supposed to take 5 to 12 years.
And yet, more people have died under COVID this year, by the way, under Joe Biden, than under you. And more people took the vaccine this year. So people are questioning how...
Well, no, the vaccine worked, but some people aren't taking it. The ones that get...
All right. That's enough of that. Okay. Your thoughts, Tuna Savage.
It's Tina Curry.
More wine, please. I'm good at the drinking part of this show.
Oh my gosh, I have so much. Where should I begin?
Anywhere.
Number one, I mean, Trump annoys me.
Thank you,
he's
baby.
Boasting about these vaccines, which are an utter failure. And I like the way how he says he did it, which he didn't do anything. But he didn't even address. He didn't address, to your point, he didn't address the military issue. It just annoys me listening to the whole thing.
So my initial analysis of this was his ego is so in the way, he can't let that go. Because he did start Operation Warp Speed. He did initiate all that, which was unprecedented.
And that was the thing that drove me crazy about him, was that his ego always got in the way, that he was always butthurt about something, and he always made things about himself.
Yes. So he did start that. He did get that going. Unfortunately, these vaccines are not effective. They don't stop transmission. They don't prevent you from getting sick. And we're not even so sure they prevent you from getting really sick and going to the hospital. There's, you know, you just read me on the way home. You read me an article about the British or the American Journal of Medicine that they had said, hey, it looks like this thing is not keeping you out of the hospital either. Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. So initially to me, that was like, he can't let that go. Also, it's going to be very difficult to run as an anti-vaxxer. You know, if he said, oh, the vaccines are shit, then he'd be the anti-vaxxer candidate. That's going to be tough. And he's running. He's running for 2024. DeSantis will not run against him. I have this on good authority. He's running. And knowing that he's running, really for sure, this is going to...
Oh, another boostergram. Let's see who that was.
yes, Korean the Keeper, 5,000 sats.
Woo!
Yeah, no name.
No name, of course.
Just thank you, thank you.
Anonymous. That's actually two of them. We got while we're doing the show.
See, and I mean, I have, I don't know that.
I have an idea.
I have mixed feelings about him running. Why do we have these 70-year-olds in government? Why?
Well, when you get close to 80 is when it gets different. I'm okay with 70-year-olds. I work with people who are older.
And number one, Trump always drove me crazy. I thought his communication skills were just lacking completely. I don't know who his communications manager. I know
him.
That they changed.
Him.
Just him. He's just awful. Just awful in terms of getting his point across.
Did you like some of the things he did as president?
Yeah, I did. I did. Mm-hmm. I did. But he frustrates me more than anything. And I don't know that he is the right person for 2024 at all.
So the one thing he did for sure is he broke open everyone's mind about China.
Fake news.
Fake news. Mm-hmm. That was probably bigger than China, mm-hmm. the fake news thing. The pharmaceutical industry, if you recall, Joe Biden is now taking credit for it, but he... went into the pharma system. He understands very well how the money flows in pharma because of all the middlemen, and that's why like the EpiPen and insulin are so incredibly expensive because there's all these companies that buy from the pharmaceutical companies. They turn around and sell it at an enormous profit to the hospital systems and to the government and all that. And he screwed those guys. He even said he knew that that was going to be bad. But let me finish.
Okay.
So why is he... of all the things, I try not to fall into the trap, Trump is stupid, because he's not. This guy is very smart.
But Adam, he is as part of the system
that's
as
what
anybody
you say.
Else. Absolutely he is.
Let me...
Go ahead. I love you. Go ahead.
Well, if you want to tell me what's going on, I want to listen to you.
No,
and then I'll,
no,
then,
go ahead.
Then
go
I'll
ahead.
Tell you what I think is happening.
Go ahead.
So knowing that he's running, knowing that he is exposed... bullshit in the past. That's the one thing I think he did well. He taught us fake news. He taught us that the news is not your friend. They're the enemy of the public. And that's what I've been saying for the past 15 years. That's what I do.
Right.
So I'm in agreement there. Mm-hmm. He showed us the pharmaceutical industry is corrupt. He showed us a lot of things. What if... See, the minute I... So Candace Owens, okay. And Candace is coming out and saying... Trump is a dick. This is no good.
Well,
how can he not?
She didn't exactly say that. She said he's not really paying attention, basically.
I don't believe that for a second. I don't believe for a second Trump doesn't know what's happening with his vaccine. He knows. Let's look at the timeline. He did Operation Warp Speed. He thought that was going to save his presidency. Get the vaccine out there. Get it ASAP. Start to get people vaccinated. This is what... That's, I think, without a doubt, he... That was on his mind. The pharmaceutical industry said, we can do this. We got it. You know, we're good to go. It's this technology. Of course, he didn't look into that. How can you? Took me months to figure it out. And then the pharmaceutical industry paid him back by not releasing the vaccine until Joe Biden was president.
Right, right.
So they fucked him. Why did they do that? Because he fucked them with the pricing. So he did that. They fucked him back. Didn't get him the... what could have possibly helped him save his presidency? I don't know, with corruption of the voting.
Well, the vaccine's a dud, so...
But that we didn't...
Wouldn't,
but,
wouldn't have
may I finish?
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
You're JCDing me, bro.
I'm sorry.
It's hard, isn't it? Right, I know. When you hear me coming up with something so truthful, you have to stop me from saying it.
Okay, sorry. Call me John.
Never. What if... And this would be one of the biggest patriotic moves in history... And I'm just going to say it's a real possibility, knowing a little bit about Trump. What if he's... Because when I hear Breitbart and what's his face? Bannon?
Mm-hmm.
Getting pissed off at Trump? That stinks. That's a setup. If Bannon is saying Trump is wrong, Trump is doing something wrong, that's an inside job. And here's what possibly could be going on. Because look at who he chose, Candace Owens. We haven't heard him talk about mandates or this exact balance of vaccines. There are 100 million people better than the Spanish flu, ended the First World War. Candace Owens. So this is an online thing. And what is happening now? And I hope to be able to find some evidence of this. I've seen some. Mainstream is now almost forced, because they're talking about Trump all day long, almost forced to say, well, Trump, you know, Trump is really pissed off his supporters because his supporters are saying the vaccine doesn't work and Trump is saying it works. Oh, what's happening now? Now we see more and more stories. Yeah, it looks like the vaccine maybe isn't all that great. What if the man is playing the media through by getting people pissed off to discredit the actual vaccine, to wake people up so they see, and the mainstream can then, and this would be, it's a long shot, but if the mainstream turns around and says, oh shit, these vaccines aren't working, which they have to admit at some point.
It's
Donald Trump's fault.
But so why was he on Candace Owens and saying, I brought these vaccines?
Because he needed to get her angry to be talking about it, to ignite this anger of Trump loves the vaccines. They're shit. If I could be totally wrong about this.
I was going to say, do you think he's that strategic?
Yes.
You do?
Yes, I do. Okay. Yes, I do. Mm. Yes. Mm-hmm. You do not get to where Trump is in life, in business, without being at least that strategic. Mm-hmm. I thought of it. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's very possible he's using that. He has enough time. There's several years here for him to go through, and then all of a sudden it'll be, because he can easily say, well, look, they fucking lied to me. What can I say? But to get it out, to stop the insanity of the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th annual, semi-annual booster, that could be what he's doing.
Yeah.
I would be overjoyed if it's true. It could just be me dreaming.
It's interesting. It's interesting to see.
And I also am not, I don't want an 80-year-old, or I don't want him to be.
No, I don't either. It would be interesting to see with Biden, because Biden took credit for all of the vaccines. It'd be interesting to see if he backs away from it then, because it's obviously failed. It's obviously failed. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. So, but going back to Candace Owens, I didn't think she asked. She didn't hold him accountable and asked him the questions and made him explain himself. And so to me, that was a little lacking. So,
well, consider maybe she's in on it.
God, I hope not. Like,
if Trump came to me, if Trump came to me and said, I need you to help me save the country from this kill shot, which I think the booster is not for everybody. Please, if you've been vaccinated, we have no problem with you. Don't give a shit. But the evidence I'm seeing is the booster is not turning out great for a lot of people, particularly if you work at the New York Times. a lot of people are just falling down.
I've heard so many sad stories of people who've had such adverse reactions.
Yeah.
And I'm just grateful that my daughters and your sisters and my sisters who have gotten the, or my sister and my nephews who have gotten the vaccination have had no issues at all. But I have seen story after story and it's frightening. Mm-hmm. It's frightening. And I won't take Tylenol. So I will not take that shot. I will not.
Well, it doesn't seem to be effective. So, you know, that's by itself. We don't need to go down that. I'm just saying, I think there's and it would be great because we need this. If it's a ploy, if he continues down this path with his insiders, and I totally think Breitbart and Bannon are in on, if there's something going on, they're in on it, to force, basically use the media's own hatred of him, hatred of actually America, hatred of anyone who doesn't live in a city and votes Democrat, to expose what's going on and to stop this in its tracks. It's very possible. We'll have if so, it'll play out in the next 6 months.
That'll be pretty remarkable. So just buckle in, grab your popcorn. I don't know.
Grab your ankles. You mean popcorns? Holy shit.
Ooh.
Well, that's Bohica, is when you bend over, here it comes again. You've ever heard of that? Very British thing.
Yeah. And, I don't know, it'll be interesting to see what's going to happen. So,
Richard Peterson.
Who's that?
Richard Peterson keeps sending me songs.
Oh.
That he writes.
Oh, is this the one that you played on the, yes. the episode two?
Yes, he's written several more songs since
thank
the last
you, Richard.
Time. And I wanted to play just a little bit of his, this is an ode to you and I, actually. It's a love story. It's a song, it's a love story.
Because we have been married for almost 7 years.
That's right, 17. There we go.
Leather jacket love story.
A leather jacket love story.
Ah.
Boy, he likes to fight. Found himself a keeper.
That'd be me.
That's right.
This time he got it right.
I did.
That's right.
Third time is right.
Took him forever.
Yeah.
Leather jacket love story.
Come on, man. That's a, there's something in there. Needs a little production, but.
Pod Daddy-O. Leather jacket love story.
Are we a leather jacket love story, baby?
Yes, we are. You wear your leather later.
Thanks, Richard. I love your songs, man.
Thank you, Richard. That's awesome.
It. He sounds like a song
I said
a day.
It. Awesome. Adam hates that word.
You
awesome.
Say that a lot.
I do, and I mean it.
But
I mean it.
You've increased saying that in the last since.
And are you shaming me?
No, because when you say it about me, I'm in total agreement.
Yeah, for sure.
No. I just found it interesting. I've heard it more often.
I like it. I like the word. Yeah.
Are you in awe of me?
Of course.
Then I'm awesome.
Yeah. You know, we've been married for 17 years.
Oh, please.
Yeah. We have a lot of fun together. We always laugh. We always talk. Yeah, we have a lot of fun. And what's our most favorite time together?
Well, what do you mean most favorite time?
Yeah.
I love in bed when we're in bed and then we're just talking.
Yeah. And then sometimes I'll say, Adam, read something to me.
Yes.
Read to me.
I'll give you an example. Shall I give you an example of what I read to you?
That's our favorite time. And I don't sleep. We have a king size bed and I sleep in the middle right next to Adam. I have all from the day that we met.
We had to get
from
a new mattress because it was a pit.
From the day that he sauced me up with two bottles of champagne.
Oh, hello.
When we were dating.
You were begging for it. I tell you.
I think you were left in disbelief after all that.
So this is one of... I'm just going to gloss over that. So this is one of the things I read to Tina.
Okay, read to me,
this is
baby.
The Bitcoin white paper.
I know a lot about Bitcoin now.
A purely peer-to-peer version of electronic cash would allow online payments to be sent directly from one party. I love reading the Bitcoin white paper to
but
you, baby.
Adam's brain is always going. And so I'll look at him and I'm like, your wheels are spinning, right? And he's like, totally. I mean, he's constantly. I can see it in real life. His brain is just spinning. So at night, he's like, I got to read something super boring to get myself to sleep. So I'm like, well, will you read it to me so that I can go to sleep? And that's what he reads me, the Bitcoin white paper.
I would say it's boring, but it's definitely not something that keeps you awake after I've read it so many times.
And then he'll read Linux stuff. Like, what? He's reading code. How sexy is that, ladies?
Well, I will say I did my year-end emails.
Yes,
top producers, and it's
because of
no, I love you because you hound me. You start in October. You know, you should really send the personal email to everybody.
No agenda would not be where it is. Podcasting 2.0 would not be. MoFax would not be where it is without the support of the people that
we would not
love
be.
You.
We would not be without the support.
Yeah.
For sure.
And so I'm like, because I am a fundraiser, I'm a communicator. I said to him, you have to thank these people. You have to. It is important that you acknowledge that.
Well, it's not that I don't thank them, but sending a year end email to, you know, I think I sent 200 emails. It was really nice.
Yes. And I'm so proud of you because I would have hounded you till the cows came home.
And I did that with technology.
Yeah, I did. He wrote. He was like, I'm writing a script so that I can mail merge this. I'm like, you're writing a script? Like, what a nerd you are.
Sexy, right?
But you did it. You did it. And thank you. I'm very proud of you.
And I have the script for next year. Yeah.
How about that?
It's
and
perfect.
It wasn't that bad, was it?
No.
I like and then it. Tell the story about how you reached out to the guy who wrote the script, actually.
Oh, yeah. So I have... 200 emails I want to send, and I want to send. You know, obviously, 200 emails, everyone personalized, it only works if you do some templating. So I was able to. Eric got me all the email addresses I wanted, and the first and last names. And then I was able to do in a spreadsheet, just type in a personal message each next to each name. And then it went off. And now what was your question again? When I'm just talking about how cool a script I
did. Oh, the guy who wrote the code. Right.
So I needed to find this thing that would work with my email program. And this is, you know, on GitHub, of course, and some open source code. And then I used it and it worked perfectly. And I left a comment, which everyone should do. If you use some open source code from someone, thank the guy or gal. I said, hey, thank you. This really saved me a lot of time. I'd like to send you, you know, like a PayPal or a Bitcoin or just somewhere where I can send it. Just buy a coffee, just something, because I really appreciate it. And he came back and he said, oh my God, thank you so much for letting me know. This really makes me enthusiastic for publishing more of my code. I love this, but I have a good job. I don't need any money. Give it to a local animal shelter. It was like really nice. And that's the world I love.
And
I
you
love
know what? That's in. Value for value right
100%.
There.
100%. Right I love living in that world. Yeah. That is good for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So everybody wins. How are we doing?
I love our conversations though. We have really good conversations.
Ours?
Yeah, we do.
I'm sorry. I wasn't listening. Do we have a conversation? Cheers. Hey, no. I'm just kidding. Baby, you're the only person I talk to except for my work wife.
Oh, John C. Dvorak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, you have anything else?
I think
I've covered all my
anything. Yeah, Tina's timeline. We got well, there's a couple things we can shift to the next time. For sure, we'd love for you to support us. This is the exit strategy. There's no other exit strategy.
Oh yeah, this is the exit strategy of No Agenda.
That's right.
Sorry, John.
This is the exit strategy. But we would appreciate support, and you can go to curryandthekeeper.com.
You know what? More and most importantly, please send us your questions. I want to know what you want to know.
Yeah.
So, and hey, we're an open book. I mean, almost an open book.
Right. People who ask questions through Boostergrams get preference.
Okay. And you can email me at tina@curry.com. Too,
yeah, no preference.
I will definitely answer your questions. So.
don't answer anything on email. Answer on the show.
No, on the show. And for sure on the show. So, yeah. Yeah.
Anything else?
Hey, great show, baby. Great show again.
Of course it's a great show. Text your sister. Tell her it'll be up in like 10 minutes. I know she's jonesing.
I will. She asked me, when's the show come up?
All right. Remember us, curryandthekeeper.com. You can support us with Bitcoin, with Lightning, or more importantly, go to newpodcastapps.com, grab yourself a modern podcast app, and boost!
Boost!
We'll see you in 2 weeks, everybody. Thanks for being here for Curry and the Keeper. Bye-bye.
Yeah.